welcome listeners to Connect the Dots. We're here with you every 10 a.m. Eastern Time on Wednesdays on the Progressive Radio Network. I'm Allison Rose Levy. I'm a health, food, and environmental reporter. Over the years, I've blogged on the Huffington Post, Alternet, and other venues. And you can still find me on Alternet today as well as my website, healthjournalistblog.com. Every week on Connect the Dots, we connect the dots between your personal health and your total health environment. And we discuss a whole range of different facets of things that all interconnect to create health, our ability to thrive and to live here on planet Earth, and the things, whether they are toxic chemicals or social sectors of our society, industries or corrupted government, whatever affects our personal health and our health, the public health and the health of the earth, we discuss on this show with a range of thought leaders, experts, scientists, authors, entrepreneurs, and advocates. So we're here every week bringing a different facet of that to you. And it's been my great pleasure to be doing this for the last couple of years here on Progressive Radio. So I like to begin with just a little shout out, and I, over the last month, got to see the premiere of Gasland Part 2, the second film made by Oscar-nominated filmmaker Josh Fox that treats the topic of fracking that we've covered a great deal on this program. Actually, Josh Fox is now on the road. He's touring with the film in all different parts of the country. You can go to the Gasland movie website and see if he's coming to an area near you. As more and more people around the country experience the negative impacts of fracking and get to know more about it, either because through this film, through blogging like mine, through reporting, or because, sadly, fracking comes to their area and they have a direct firsthand experience. Gasland 2 will also be screened on HBO beginning this summer. Just in about another month or so. So there'll be plenty of opportunity for you to see it. And I also want to give a shout out to Illinois People's Action. There's a big tug of war going on right now over fracking in Illinois. Some hope want to regulate this process. Others say that it really can't be regulated because there isn't the ability to enforce any regulatory law that's put into place. Once again, fracking has not been done for a century with a history of safe use. This recent process with its toxic chemicals have been shown by science to migrate into water supplies has really only been done for the last decade or so. And unfortunately, the gas and oil industry preemptively deregulated fracking. So a little shout out for fracking before we bring in the guests for today's show. And I'm really happy to have them here. I just recently did a wonderful blog on the fine work they're doing, and they're Facebook friends of mine that I've known for several years and sort of watched the evolution of this terrific company. On today's show, we'll be talking with Ava Anderson and Kim Sprague Anderson. They are the founders of Ava Anderson Non-Toxic. It's a quality personal care line with a whole range of different products. It's made without toxic chemicals. We'll be talking to them today about why it's so important, to use safe products and also to advocate, lobby, and stand up for the proper study and regulation of toxic chemicals, which is something they have really been very actively participating in and showing great leadership in. So we'll learn more about them as I bring them in here, and they'll kind of tell their wonderful story. It's a delight to have you here. Welcome to Connect the Dots, Ava and Kim.
Thank you so much, Allison.
So it's amazing because your company is now 4 years old. You founded it in 2009. And I remember, because we were already Facebook friends, Kim, when you wrote and said, my daughter has gotten really interested in this and founded a healthy products company. And I was like, oh, wow, that's so incredible. I have a huge extended network of terrific activist friends in life and on Facebook, and it was so delightful to hear a young person. How old were you at the time, Ava, when you founded Ava Non-Toxics with your mom?
I was 15 years old when I founded the business.
It's hard. I'm not able to hear Ava too well.
Well, Kim, while your technician works on getting Ava chimed in, I can answer that for her. She was 14 when she discovered this issue, Allison. She and I were watching the news, and we saw the teen study done by the Environmental Working Group. And it was one of those things where I said, wow, that's really scary stuff. But for Ava, it was a life-changing moment. She just decided that not her, not ever, by the way, not you mom or grandmothers and grandfathers either, and started kind of throwing away everything that we had and trying to replace it. That's where it all started.
Wow, wow. You know, it's funny because I'd love to get your perception, knowing Ava and the other, you know, 25,000 people that have joined in to use and offer and host parties and get people interested in knowing about this line of personal care products. You know, some people say, and I've seen websites where, you know, they're addressing young adults now, or the late teens, young adults segment, the millennials, and they're kind of assuming that this generation is just kind of bought into a lot of cultural myths. They kind of have to be talked down to. They're skeptical and not really, you know, ready to commit and kind of, you know, take active steps. They're kind of holding back and kind of sort of saying, prove it to me. But, you know, I wonder if that's your impression, because my impression of this generation is actually that they're smarter and more active in many ways than the previous ones. What's your impression?
I can definitely only go on Ava and her friends and some of the young women that I happen to have the benefit to meet as the daughters and sons of our consultants across the country. And they're incredibly intelligent, and I think maybe it's because they have access to so much information. And I think, you know, that was the thing with Ava, was she went into a room and just started researching. And all of that information, for any young person that wants it, in whatever their passion is, it's all there. They just have to go digging for it. So you know, how do you give a kid that kind of drive? That I don't know. What I will say is my husband and I are entrepreneurs. So from the time Ava was little, she was around a philosophy of, if you have a problem, go solve it. And little did I know, honestly, Allison, I would walk by her room and she'd be out there hard at work on her computer. I thought she was doing her homework. But for about a year, she was doing homework of a different kind. She was actually blogging, and she had thousands of followers on her blog. She had a blog that's no longer up called safemakeuphaven.com. And as she would discover each ingredient and each product and be more and more disturbed by what she was finding, and she'll tell you that she thinks that she was personally greenwashed for many months, thinking, you know, some lines were safer than others, until she really dug deeper. You know, that I just think that the information was there. She went looking for it, and she just finally felt that sharing with people to make a change wasn't good enough if you couldn't give them an alternative that you were willing to put your name on. And that's what she felt had happened. Is she couldn't just offer somebody a Burt's Bees product. If Burt made great products, but now it has been sold to Clorox, things aren't quite the same as they used to be. So she was finding that people were very confused. So I think Ava and so many, we have consultants that enroll with us that are younger than 18 that have to enroll with an adult. But, you know, we have a young woman who paid for, you know, part of a ride to Yale with her Ava money. I mean, there's young people out there who really want it, and if they want it, they can do anything. And I'm meeting a lot of those people. So I would disagree with a wide generalization that we're in trouble with this generation.
Yeah, they seem very committed. I mean, it's really kind of interesting. They, you know, they come into a different world than the one their parents were born into, in terms of the degree of toxicity, the threats to healthy living and all of the rest of it. You know, what are your thoughts about that as a mom?
Yeah, I would agree 100%. It's a totally different landscape than what we, you know, I used to ride my bike around the neighborhood and nobody cared about anything from, you know, scary neighbors to toxic chemicals on the front lawns. And we live in a different place now. Thankfully, we have education. Now we just have to change that situation. And I would say I have a son. Ava's got a brother who's 21. He's a rising senior at Dartmouth College in New Hampshire. He's an environmental studies major with an economics minor. And he's equally passionate, having learned from Ava about the universe and the environment. And he'll call me after a particularly disturbing discussion on global climate issues, or he's right now doing something on wastewater treatment plants and sending toxic chemicals back to local farms. And he'll just call me and say, oh, boy, we're screwed. This is such a mess, and there's so much work to be done. Mom, thank you for what you and Ava are doing.
That's amazing, yeah, that both kids are involved. You know, the one thing about this that I think that, you know, we as Americans, like over and over, you know, I hear people saying, we can vote as consumers. We can have influence as consumers. And, of course, you've created a consumer product line, and it's true that we do have some influence. But to me, we only have influence when we are really looking beyond the immediate thing, because in a certain sense, you know, we've been lulled as consumers. You know, into thinking that, you know, we just do a purchase and that's it, and we're really not that informed as consumers. I saw something recently that a Greek yogurt product, for example, which is touted as healthy, I mean, I don't know, in fact, I'm pretty sure that it isn't all that healthy because it's probably made with milk that has recombinant bovine growth hormone in it. In other words, it's non-organic milk, and the use of that kind of hormone with the cows is unhealthy for them, and it's unhealthy for us in the milk, and it's why for people who are health conscious, you know, many avoid dairy due to allergic reasons. If they consume dairy, of course, organic is better. And that's, from my perspective, something that, given the rising rates of cancer, one would never want to compromise on. I don't, and that's not what I recommend. A lot of people go vegan in response to things like this. But in any case, for the wider population, perhaps yogurt is healthier than, you know, eating you know, candy, for example, or, you know, a high caloric Danish for breakfast or something like that. So, you know, yogurt is a healthier choice, and, you know, so at one step along on a health journey, you know, yogurt would be a healthy choice, less healthy because it's not organic milk. But then it also further turns out that one of the things that makes Greek, you know, yogurt tasty is that it's thicker and more of the whey is drained from it, making for a thicker yogurt product than is the case for other yogurt. So, you know, that all seems wonderful until you kind of broaden the lens and look at the environmental impact, the ecological impact, and it turns out that when a company has a big success and suddenly there's a great demand for this product and they're producing so much of this and everything, what is left out? What is the after product of creating Greek yogurt? And the answer is whey. And, you know, so they have tons and tons and tons of this whey. They have nothing to do with whey. They haven't created an ecology where they're utilizing the whey. And so now the whey becomes an acid dumping problem. So, you know, even a, let's say, quasi-healthy product that one could feel good about, I'm buying it as a consumer, you know, and I'm voting, you know, is part of an ecology that we usually don't think about, or talk about, or consider when we're making a so-called healthy personal choice. And in the same way, you know, if we're using toxic personal care products or toxic ingredients, if, you know, if my neighbor uses it, if, you know, a lot of people in my region use it, it's not just their personal choice, but, you know, they wash with it, they shower with it, they shampoo with it, they put it on their body, it rinses off, and it enters the water system. You know, all of the chemicals that might be in those products are not only having a personal impact, but they're also ecologically affecting other people as well. You know, so, I mean, what's your view on that?
I mean, you touched on so many things. I agree with you wholeheartedly. First of all, what we find at Ava parties is that most people just don't know that even if they're trying to make a safer purchasing issue or purchasing product, if they're trying to purchase a safer product, they just don't know. They don't have the information to make that kind of an informed decision. So we kind of look at this as about peeling away the onion. Starting at the outer layer, and then we've all, as a company, started learning more and more and more because, like you, we've got all these great Facebook fans and friends, and we've got these great people in our company. We have naturopaths and chiropractors and veterinarians and estheticians and people who are in the health field who, and many nurses and teachers that really get it because they've had the opportunity to learn either through Ava Anderson's business or through learning on their own and bringing that to the table. But we find that just so many people, if I'm in a room with 10 people that have never heard this issue before, by the end of 20 minutes of explaining to them what we explain, the room is vibrating. They can't believe that the products that are on shelves are not safe. They just didn't, it wasn't in their realm. So those people, and there are millions of them, are out there buying with their dollars, and we're, I think, outnumbered in the ones who happen to have had the education. Now, I wouldn't have happened to have this if Ava didn't bring it to me. And I considered myself a mid-40-year-old woman who's incredibly intelligent and successful, and I had no idea.
Right.
It's really not in the mainstream.
And Ava, are you on there with us, Ava? Have you joined us here?
Yes. I know we've been... Can you hear me a lot better?
Perfect.
Yeah,
okay.
Great.
And you know, let me let Ava explain something to you about what I was talking about. For instance, Ava, tell them a little bit about when you went to 17 Magazine to have an interview. And this is why, Allison, we so badly need bloggers like you. Because when we try to go to mainstream, it just doesn't work. Actually, they came to us. So, Ava, just a brief description of that.
Sure. Well, we interviewed with a couple of big magazines a few years ago when we first got started, and it was so exciting, and everyone was so receptive to the issue, and even just on a personal level, they were so grateful to have the information. And, you know, they really wish they could share it with their viewers, but if they wrote an article about what we kind of call the toxic issue and gave this wonderful information to their viewers, they would be in big trouble with their advertisers because, you know, those huge advertisements on the back covers and every other page in the magazine, they just wouldn't want our story to be shared because it clearly contradicts with the products they're selling. So, unfortunately, you know, we would just get a little product placement out of that and, you know, they would call it like an eco-friendly product and kind of missing the whole non-toxic message. So, that's a huge problem is that the big chemical companies have such power in, you know, the publishing industry and magazines and TV shows and everything that, you know, many TV shows have also considered us and they just can't risk it because it's too much of their, you know, incoming money source. So that's pretty unfortunate that, you know, it's the main reason that this isn't common knowledge to people.
Amazing. You know, it's so interesting because it all across the board, and this is true in every area, you know, in the food area, if you try to go out with a food safety or a healthy food supply message in major media, what do you have there? Big food advertisers. In the realm that you're talking about, personal care products, not regulated, not studied, the ingredients not well studied, you go out and what are you up against? These big producers of products who are all the advertisers. If it's the energy industries, you know, coming in and saying, look, the Keystone XL pipeline is going to take us over the top with global warming. Fracking, you know, can poison the water supply and creates air pollution and all kinds of health problems in the region. But there you have the gas and oil companies. So at every turn, it's kind of like, you know, when you go out to the media to educate, there's a blockage. And then if you go to the government, of course, the same groups are lobbying. So could you, first of all, let's backtrack a bit now that we have you with us, Ava, which I'm so glad to hear. And just tell our listeners a bit more about, like, what we're talking about in terms of the chemical ingredients in most conventional products versus yours and what the problems are there.
Sure. Well, I became aware, as Mom stated, of this issue when I was a freshman in high school. And I, you know, it was a study I saw in the news about known harmful chemicals being found in a teenager's bloodstream from their personal care products. And I just simply was kind of shocked and alarmed and thought I could buy my way out of the issue. You know, I figured, okay, tomorrow I'll go to a health food store and I'll get the organic, you know, lotion or sunscreen or shampoo. And when I go to a drugstore, I'll get the natural one with the little green leaf. And I thought it would be a simple solution. And unfortunately, I realized that, you know, since there's no criteria to use the term natural or safe for anything on your product, oftentimes I was being really misleaded into thinking it was a safer alternative when it really wasn't. And sometimes it will have, you know, a jojoba oil or shea butter or whatever it's advertising, but it's still back-ended with the same 15, 20 toxic chemicals. And so what I thought would just be a one-day trip to the store ended up turning into an entire year of research just trying to find a safer product for myself and my family. And along the way, I learned so much valuable information that now we include in our AVA parties. And some of those facts include, you know, in the United States, there's only 9 banned ingredients that can't be used in personal care products. But in the European Union, there's over 1,400. So an exact baby shampoo or lotion or sunscreen or the exact same product has a safer formulation in Europe because manufacturers are forced to clean up their products to comply with their safer chemical policies. And then they leave in that junk for us because there's no one telling them to not do it.
And in the same way, it's also like right now we kind of reconnected around because right now this we're speaking and it's heading into the summer season, and of course the show will be evergreen and ongoing apart from summer. But in the summer season, even people who may not regularly use a lot of, you know, I mean, everyone may probably use shampoo and soap and stuff like that, and even that can be problematic. But even people who, you know, men, for example, if you're not using a lot of makeup, you're probably not applying a lot of face cream, you know, stuff like that. But you know, in the summer, everyone uses sunscreen. You know, there's some problems with the sunscreen ingredients as well. Do you want to tell our listeners a little bit about that?
Sure, and I just do want to clarify that I think people oftentimes group us into like a cosmetics or a makeup kind of category, but if you think about just men, for instance, they're hopefully using toothpaste and shower gel and soap and maybe a hand sanitizer and a toothpaste and a deodorant, and, you know, so you do use more products than you think, and oftentimes this does kind of get labeled as a woman's issue, but yes, for sunscreen, that's a huge problem. Because, you know, people think they're doing the right thing by using it, but, you know, the FDA actually did a study that they released last year that says retinol palmitate, which is a vitamin A derivative and found in most of the sunscreens that you'll find in a drugstore, in the presence of sunlight actually increases skin cancer lesions by 21%.
So we hope that in most of the sunscreens.
Yes, yeah, including baby sunscreens, and clearly it's in products that are in the presence of sunlight, and even face moisturizers and other products. So, you know, I just find that disturbing that, you know, this is a government agency doing this study and coming up with this shocking result, you know, that it's actually increasing skin cancer, and that they don't even have the authority to do anything about it. You know, I'd think that with that information, then they would just simply not allow it in a product, you know, finding out that it's harmful, but that's unfortunately not the way everything's running and set up here.
And why is that?
The FDA really doesn't have any authority to recall products, to do any testing before products are put on the shelf. They're very understaffed, and that's part of why we're in Washington, D.C., is to help get the Safe Cosmetics and Personal Care Act passed, which would change a few things. And one of the big ones would be that manufacturers wouldn't be allowed to hide ingredients in loopholes. Currently, if you look at a shampoo or a deodorant or something, if you see the ingredient fragrance, manufacturers are actually allowed to hide hundreds of chemicals in there and not list them. So the consumer is completely in the dark as to what they're using. And there's great online sources that you can find on our website where you can assess the toxicity of a product, but you can only assess what they're telling you. So when they're hiding all these hundreds of chemicals and you don't have the right to know what's in there, we always say all bets are off. You really should never use a product with the ingredient fragrance on it. So I'm getting a little sidetracked here, but basically the FDA just really doesn't have the authority to control the industry. And Mom maybe can speak to this a little bit, there's a lot of self-policing going on where the big companies kind of get together. And is it called the chemical?
CIR, Chemical Ingredient Review Board,
mm-hmm.
And it's staffed with members of the big companies and a few dermatologists. And unfortunately, what they're worried about is, you know, is something going to give you a rash? Does something have an allergen? And as you can tell from your conversation with Ava, what we're concerned is far more life-threatening, health-threatening, dangerous than a skin rash. You know, that's a problem, and a lot of people find us because they've got a skin rash, and that's great. But what we're worried about is the body burden of toxic chemicals.
Let's talk about that. I think some people, and let me know if you've heard different, but I think a lot of people don't really believe, or they think there's some kind of dispute or confusion. And in fact, I've heard confusing misinformation about this myself. You know, they think it goes on the skin, it goes on the hair, and it never enters the body. You know, the skin is like a, you know, kind of a rubber raincoat, and anything just slides right off it. Is that the case?
Yeah, no,
definitely not. If you think of, well, okay, first off, your skin is your largest organ, and up to 60% of what you put on it is actually in your bloodstream in 26 seconds. And if it's your scalp, your underarms, or your groin, up to 100% of it can actually be absorbed. And mm-hmm. I think the easiest way to understand it is if you think of like a nicotine patch or an estrogen patch, those drug delivery systems that doctors use, you know, they recommend that because it goes right to the bloodstream and actually bypasses the liver and gets there even faster. Dr. Samuel Epstein, the author of Toxic Beauty, actually says you're safer to swallow your shampoo and consume your products than you are to put them on your skin, because at least your digestive system is made to partly detoxify, but there's no filtration system in your skin. So as you said before, people often put products on their skin and they're not realizing that it's getting right to their bloodstream.
And so let's talk about a little bit what happens from there, just to kind of give the foundation of what is happening to our bodies and our health through using products that contain both known harmful ingredients and a whole host, like as in fragrance, as you mentioned, of we don't know what's in there. You know, so then it goes into the bloodstream, so oh my gosh, wow, it does get absorbed through my skin. I'm just, you know, it's not just, I don't have a rubber raincoat on here that's protecting me, it's in my bloodstream. And so I think the next assumption is, oh, and then doesn't it just go running through my body and then it's gone and out the door, and you know, I've you know, by 48 hours later, it's gone, it's had no effect on me. I'm just kind of like a pipeline and it ran through.
That's not the case, unfortunately. You know, phthalates, which when you were mentioning fragrance and all these hidden things in there, one of the things that they do know is in there because the Environmental Working Group has tested. They picked random products off of big box shelves, and 83% or more than 75% of what had the ingredient fragrance had phthalates. And it's a cousin to BPA. Some people may not have heard about it, but you will, because it's kind of like the new media darling that people are starting to talk about. Mm-hmm. And the reason that they're starting to talk about it is that even though it does pass through the system quickly, and many things do not, but phthalates do, it's an endocrine disruptor. Mm-hmm. So it's, and people, don't be confused, that's not just hormones for women who are having a change of life. Endocrine disruption is everything from the pituitary gland to the adrenal gland to the thyroid gland. It's your whole glandular system of your body. And so when you're disrupting that, that's a big problem, especially in childbearing issues and years. So, you know, we're literally soaking up phthalates, because if you went into the average home right now, they've got 15 products they use every day that all have the ingredient fragrance, so now you know that 10 or 12 of them have phthalates.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're literally soaking us as a sponge would soak up phthalates, and then having children and wondering why we've got this massive increase of now 1 in 55 boys in this country on the autism spectrum disorder and 1 in 82 babies. I mean, these ingredients, some of them accumulate more than others, and some of them stay with us forever. So, for instance,
metals, for instance,
there you go.
They're bioaccumulative, and they store in your fat cells for life. So people kind of hear of aluminum and deodorant and lead and lipstick, but it's way more than just those two ingredients and in those two products. You know, if you use 15 products every day, about four or five of them probably have lead in, and maybe three or four have aluminum in them. When we visited Washington, D.C., we just brought a basic array of 12 products, you know, a shave gel and a toothpaste and a deodorant, just really basic products. And we created this body burden chart for them so we could explain the issue to them, and it was really clear and right in front of them. And we tallied up, I believe, five of those 12 products had aluminum in them. And we showed them. We kind of, like, tallied everything up. So we could say, you know, there are six hits or seven hits of a bio-cumulative metal in just one use of these daily products. And, you know, a toothpaste and, you know, a lip balm, you're probably applying more than once a day. Because the big chemical companies like to go to the congressman and fight against the bill and say, oh, it's just a little bit, and oh, it's like a grain of salt in a bathtub. And we wanted to show them, you know, maybe it's just a little bit in one product, but when you think about using 15 products, you know, once a day, and some of them even more, it really adds up. And especially because, as we were just talking about, the metals are bioaccumulative. They actually, you know, never leave your body. So,
well, I was just reading the same rationalization, oh, it's just a little bit, in a food blog. You know, now that healthy nutrition, you know, I was part of the movement to raise awareness about healthy nutrition for two decades or so, and now it's, you know, it's a buzzword. People, you know, more and more people understand that, you know, it's important to create a health foundation through the food we eat, and so, you know, now you have everyone trying to kind of come in and be an expert. So I was just reading a food blog written by someone who's, you know, heretofore their expertise was how to make a fabulous frittata. You know, they're a kind of a gourmet recipe person, sort of switching over to the, you know, let's give some health advice side. I can get on the internet too, kind of thing, but not really globally well informed, and saying, oh, it's totally fine to use any kind of fry pan you like, such as an aluminum fry pan, which of course many are. They do, aluminum does conduct heat very well, and it's just a little bit of aluminum that might get into your food from, you know, so.
And Teflon.
Yeah, exactly. You know, so, you know, it's just a little bit from here, it's just a little bit from there, you know, and it reminds me of the old joke, and after a while you're talking about real money, you know, so after a while, you know, a penny here and a penny there, and soon it's real money. And it's the same thing with this, and soon it's real cumulative exposure and body burden. Let's take a break now for station identification, and we'll be coming back in the second half of the show, because I want to talk a little bit about the concept of body burden. You know, I think you've mentioned it, and I think many people have never heard of it. And it's actually pretty foundational to, you know, I think a really solid understanding of health, rather than, you know, sort of health as in, I do the best, what I think is the best, then I get sick, then I have drugs and surgery. You know, that's, I think we can do better and we need to do better, and I think the concept of body burden is core to that. So let's take a break. We'll be right back with Ava Anderson and Kim Sprague Anderson talking about toxic chemicals and personal care products. Stay with us for the second half of Connect the Dots. We'll be right back with you. Welcome back to the second half of Connect the Dots. I'm Allison Rose Levy. If you've missed the first half of our show, it's really worth a listen. We're talking today with Ava Anderson and Kim Sprague Anderson, who created the personal care line Ava Anderson Non-Toxic. And they are, this is both, a wonderful brand and product line to know about, to use healthy products that are safe to use, that contain non-toxic ingredients. And also, these two mother and daughter team that we have here with us today on the show are very highly knowledgeable about what's in personal care, what you want to avoid, and what we need to do to protect ourselves from toxic chemicals, both in terms of individual consumer choice and product use, as well as on a national scale. So please do tune in to the archives if you've missed the first half of the show. Like us on iTunes, and now we're heading into the second half of the show. So, Ava and Kim, you brought up one of my two a phrase that's one of my very favorites as really to promote understanding of all of the different exposures that are coming towards us, and that is the term body burden. Can you tell our listeners a little bit about body burden and why it's such a key understanding for really grokking the assaults that you know face our health?
Sure, I'd love to. This is Kim. We go to a wonderful naturopath who we adore, and he once said it like this, and I don't think you can improve on it. At some point, your bucket fills up and it overflows. And when your personal bucket of these toxins overflows, disease is the result. So the body has an ability to handle a certain amount, and for different bodies it may be a different amount. But when we assault it with toxins from our food, from our air, from our water, and from the products that we use and put on our bodies, some people's buckets are going to overflow, and that's where we're seeing just these tremendous rises in things like cancer and Alzheimer's and autism. And I mean, everybody would have to admit there's just far more of these diseases in our lives, personally as well as in the country, than ever before. And it's because of this assault on the body, and that your bucket becomes full, and where does it go? It causes problems. I mean, it's a basic, simple way for me to understand it when he said that, and I hope that kind of gives it a little bit more flesh on the bones. The interesting thing, too, and I wanted to remind your listeners, is not only are we personal care products, but our hundreds and hundreds and thousands of consultants have asked us over the years, okay, I need more than just soap and shampoo. And so in response to that, Ava and I have added a home cleaning collection. We have 6 home cleaning care products. We've added bug spray. We've added candles. Most people don't realize when you're burning paraffin in a candle, you're burning what is the essential
chemicals.
Right. It's a vat of chemicals, basically, from the bottom of the fuel barrel. That's where paraffin comes from. So,
oh, my God. This is so incredible. We discussed this one time when we met offline, and I just think this is so important, you know, because I've always, I'm not a big user of candles personally. In fact, I've never used them because, to me, they smell weird and toxic, even the ones with the heavy perfume and all the rest of it. And so this whole thing of, oh, let's light a candle, I've always been, and, you know, poison the air in the room. And this is not based, this is just an instinctive response, you know, not based on any research or anything else, but you guys have done the research. And so what you're saying is that the basic ingredient that makes the candle is toxic. Is that true if it's a soya healthy candle? I mean, what's going on here?
Ava, do you want to handle that, or would you like me to?
Yeah, sure. Well, paraffin, as Mom talked about, is the big problem one, because it's made from the bottom of the fuel barrel after the other industries take out the product they want, and then it's bleached with industrial bleach, and I believe 5 or 6 other harmful chemicals are then added to it. And then, obviously, there's coal tar colorants that are added to achieve a nice hue, and then synthetic fragrances, and oftentimes metal or lead wicks. So, you know, and we always say you're really lucky when you kind of have that instinct to stay away from certain toxic products, but unfortunately not everyone has those sort of instincts. But so then you're just, you know, burning off these harmful chemicals and breathing it in your air, and and then the air inside your house, I think the statistic is that it's actually worse than any heavy smog day in L.A. I'm losing my train of thought here.
No, that was perfect. I mean, that's exactly the EPA has done tests that the indoor air is worse than any day of outdoor smog when you're burning in those highly chemical candles, and they all are. Any candle that you pick up with color, that color comes from coal tar. Any synthetic fragrance, that synthetic fragrance is all made, and they use the phthalates that we were talking about before to extend the life of the fragrance. If you get a really good smell and it lasts a long time, not a good sign. That's phthalates. Unless they're using what we do is organic essential oils for our fragrance.
But you were talking about soy waxes as well, and I think the problem with that is, you know, if they're genetically modified and they're grown with pesticides, then you're just breathing all of those chemicals in as well. So that's why we chose organic coconut wax as our base. We think that's the healthiest choice.
Mm-hmm.
And cotton wicks, no metal wicks.
Yeah, that's really, you know, it's so ironic. I mean, all these things that we think we're doing, you know, to be healthy, to relax or whatever, and then, you know, there's this kind of downside problem. You know, let's switch gears for a moment. Before we leave the body burden thing, I think one of the reasons people are ignorant about a body burden is that we're not measuring body burden. When you go to the doctor, he's not testing your, you know, the chemicals or the heavy metals or anything else that might be in your blood, in your urine, in your tissue, you know, in saliva, you know, he's not, you know, in your hair. There are a lot of different things that integrative doctors and naturopaths test that aren't conventionally tested. So, you know, you don't get a warning sign that your body burden is building up and up and up and up and up, except maybe you'll begin to experience some symptoms, you know, some low-grade symptoms. And so, you know, basically, there's a big, just as, you know, there's this big kind of secrecy thing around fragrance, like, oh, what does that mean? What's in it? We don't know. There's also a big mystery about what's in your body. We don't know in conventional medicine. We don't study. We don't look, we don't test these things. We don't look at the functionality of the organs. We don't look at anything until, boom, the day comes along that you're having problems. And then very frequently, you know, we don't, you know, the doctors don't know what caused the problem, you know.
Yeah.
They don't have an answer to what to do about the problem. So until you, you know, and up till now, I think, you know, we've the first, you know, wave of the health revolution that I've been part of and reporting on has been about, you know, healthy eating and healthy lifestyle. What we're talking about today are things that you, you know, some things that you can avoid through personal care product choice, and there are many others that you cannot. And so the next wave is not just, you know, what we eat, and of course we still have a battle to protect a healthy food supply, which I cover on the show, but there's also all the rest of these other things that are incrementally affecting us, and we don't study it, and we don't look at it, and we don't know what to do about it.
You know, Allison, there's a really great new book out, which I'm sure you've seen, by Dr. Marguerite Cuomo, called The World Without Cancer.
Oh, no, I haven't seen that.
It's all about prevention for her, and which is it's exactly what we're talking about. Avoid the body burden and avoid the disease, right? So she says there's five things as Americans that we can do right now to prevent 50% of cancer. I mean, that's a big number, right?
Mm-hmm.
One is eat organic, which is what you've been such a big part of.
Mm-hmm.
Two is exercise regularly. Okay, so we all know that we should do it, and it's at least a choice whether we do or not. The third is keep cell phones away from our head, and I just saw an amazing YouTube video of a doctor who has young patients getting breast cancer from putting their cell phones in their bras. So keep the cell phone away from our bodies.
Mm-hmm.
The fourth was reduce toxic chemicals in personal care products, and the fifth is reduce toxic chemicals in cleaning products. So right now, we're two-fifths of the solution to preventing disease.
That's really incredible. Yeah, that's really important. And so, you know, we're lucky to have independent media, like the Progressive Radio Network, to get the word out about this. Because
Absolutely.
If you had to go through, you know, the mass media system, then people would not be hearing about it. But you've been doing something else, which is really great, which I want to make sure we cover before we end the show in the next 10, 15 minutes. Two things, actually. One is you've been going out to communities, and two is you've been going out to Congress to educate them. So tell us a little bit about the first, and then I want to hear more about, like, what it's like, what your conversations with Congress have been like.
Well, how about I hear a little bit about going out to the communities, and then I'll have Ava talk a little bit about our work in Washington.
Great.
Actually, let me cover one part of that first question first, because, you know, when I, let's take it back to my freshman year of high school when I was 14, you know, once I finally came to the conclusion that there was really no safe full line of products out there for me to use or to recommend, and I had become really educated on this, and I decided to launch the business. You know, we started just with 6 skincare products. We now have close to 60 products. But I realized, you know, at first I think I might have thought, okay, maybe it'll be an online store and we'll ship out of the home, or maybe we could just sell it locally. But then I started to, you know, realize that all this education I had could not be relayed on the back of the bottle. There's not enough room, there's not enough fine print to you know, explain what we can explain to you in 10 or 20 minutes. So that's when I realized traditional retail just wouldn't work for us. And that direct sales, the party plan model, was the perfect fit because it allowed a consultant to share this important health information with, you know, a room of 10 or 15 women at once, and not only provide them with the toxic message, but also a safer opportunity, a safer alternative, you know, in the product. So that is kind of why we chose the route we did for our business. And my grandfather's kind of helped pioneer the industry back in the 60s and the 70s, I believe. At the time when he sold his business, he was larger than Mary Kay. So we knew when we were starting the business that, you know, it was a tried and true way to sell products, and that it was the best alternative because of the message we had. And then, you know, a huge bonus is just offering a wonderful business opportunity to people. And, you know, because we're so message driven, we have a super wonderful compensation plan where we actually reward up to 50% of sales to the consultant. Most companies stop at about 30%, but we really want to get money in the hands of the consultant to share this message. And it's so wonderful, you know, hearing the stories of a single mom sending a child to private school, or somebody now getting to send their kids to summer camp for the summer, or an addition to their house, or even just little things of, you know, being the one to pay for dinner when she goes out with her husband or something. So that always brings my mom to tears.
Well, that's a great thing, and I just want to say to anyone listening, you know, that would like to be part of this food chain and, you know, kind of use healthy products and let other people know about them, they should go to your website and give everyone your website here and, you know, find out more about it, because, you know, I think that would be great. What's your website?
Sure. It's AvaAndersonNonToxic.com, and you can enroll right on the site for $99. We've enrolled over 2,500 consultants in all 50 states in about the 3.5 years we've been in business. And this month and last month have just been insane. Everything's growing exponentially, and it's a really exciting future for us. And I would also want to just put a little plug in for our Facebook page, because that's where we post a lot of really great informative articles for you to kind of teach yourself about the issue. You know, if you're just hearing this for the first time and you want to educate yourself a little bit, even just going back a week on our Facebook page, you can learn a lot.
That sounds great. Now let's shift gears and talk about what your conversations, you know, what it's like to go down and talk with Congress about this. You know, how well informed are they, the people who are voting on the Safe Chemicals Act? You know, and by the way, where do we find the Safe Chemicals Act before we go into this, so that people also can take action to help get these ingredients better studied, better regulated, and really put pressure upon Congress to pass a law that protects the public? Where can they go to do that?
Well, sure. If you Googled, and you could find it, and I'm sure we've got something on Ava's Facebook page, as she mentioned in the last week or so, it's called the Safe Cosmetics and Personal Care Act of 2013, and it's in the House side. There is also some legislation on the Senate side. Mm-hmm. And Ava and I went down with the help and at the request of the Breast Cancer Fund and the Campaign for Safe Cosmetics to speak with 20 of the offices of the representatives and their senior health policy analysts that are on the subcommittee that will decide whether this ever hits the floor for an official vote or not. Mm-hmm. And Ava and I did go last year, and we met with 9 of the representatives. She had actually been asked to testify in front of Congress, and we got kind of bumped from that list right before we were about to go. But we said, you know, we're going, and we want to speak to people, we want to share this. And what we found last year was the same as what we found this year, is the people that are voting on this, they actually have no idea about this issue. I would say we found one person who had a senior health policy analyst who was a child pediatrician who understood it, but still did not understand half of the things that we were sharing. So for most people, you know, look, our congressmen are generalists. They have to vote on a lot of issues, and they rely on their kind of like their board of overseers, or their chairman. They're the chairman of the board, and they rely on their team, so their senior health policy analyst, to bring them the information they need to make an informed decision. So those are the people that we're meeting with, and they really had no idea. I mean, we actually had one guy with young kids who was literally holding the edge of his desk looking at us like, I cannot believe this. I can't believe this is what's happening. And, you know, that's disturbing. And then I think it's also disturbing, unfortunately, that it's a partisan issue and that it's really hard to get both parties involved in this. You know, the Democrats are totally supporting it right now, and the Republicans have not signed on to it. And it's unfortunate that our health and the future health of future generations and our planet is depending on, you know, 20 men and women to get this onto the House floor for a vote when it's really a political football. And that's disturbing. And even within the Democratic Party, you've got one guy in Representative Dingell who used to be head of this subcommittee called the Commerce and Energy Subcommittee, and he was bumped off by Henry Waxman. So now Henry Waxman is the chairman of this committee and the ranking member. So the two of them will not support each other's bills. So, and they and their friends. So it's literally like sitting in a sandbox with children. And trying to say, okay, let's put away the toys, boys and girls, and let's stop looking at this as a political football, and let's look at the health issues. So Ava would bring out her 14 products and the body burden chart and then explain to them the top 10 chemicals of concern. We already talked about phthalates. She talked to them about retinal palmitate. We talked to them about parabens and about triclosan. Most people have no idea that triclosan is a cousin of Agent Orange. It's registered with the government as a pesticide. It doesn't belong being in an antibacterial product that our kids are putting on in between every time they go to a classroom. Mm-hmm. So Ava would go through the ingredients and the body burden, and in 10 minutes completely get them on the path to educating them about, okay, this is a very serious issue. How do we get beyond the politics to get this done? Mm-hmm. And so that's what we were doing. And we were very, very happy that when we left, the lobbying group for the Campaign for Safe Cosmetics said, you know, once again, you guys are rock stars. You're changing this conversation in Washington. You know, if we can get in with more decision makers, will you come back? Absolutely, we'll come back. But unfortunately, Allison, it's going to be a long time that meaningful legislation happens. That's the reality. Mm-hmm. And if it happens, will it be meaningful? That's another reality. Mm-hmm. But the reason that our family supports Ava in this is that we believe that our close to 3,000 consultants are going to personally educate 1 million American families this year.
Mm-hmm.
And then people out there like you and other people out there who are talking about this, I see a paradigm shift happening. Mm-hmm. And once we have enough people that know about this, then the big companies will have to change. And we're seeing some of that. You know, Johnson & Johnson coming out and saying that in 3 years they'll get rid of some things that are have formaldehyde inducing. Okay, that's great. That's a start. But when the customer will no longer buy a product with fragrance in it, no longer buy a product with retinal palmitate in it, there will be no room for them to hide, and no amount of legislation is going to change them any faster than they're going to change themselves. So we supported Ava in this completely for that reason. For us, it's never been about making money. We're very lucky. We don't have to worry about that. For us, it's been about changing chemical policy by educating American families from the ground up.
Yep, that makes, you know, I'll tell you, it's really gratifying to me every day when, you know, because I began on the, I began on the natural health issue where nobody even thought that you needed to do anything to look after your health. I began on the food issue, you know, before there was even organic labeling. I began on the fracking issue when everyone just thought it was kind of some freak thing that must be okay, and now people are incredibly well informed about that. And look at where we are with, for example, the GMO issue, where we've just this past week had, you know, hundreds of thousands of people in over 300 countries around the world demonstrating, even though the major media barely covered it, this kind of thing is happening. There was a recent article in Forbes magazine that said, you know, was speaking to business, and they said, your biggest problem is your consumer. You know, because people are getting educated through what you're doing, what a lot of people are doing, what I'm doing, and they're becoming active. And it's really important to act on all fronts. You can take action on toxic chemicals by going to Safer Chemicals Healthy Families, which is under safechemicals.org. You can go to the Campaign for Safe Cosmetics. You can go to the Environmental Working Group, and all of these groups also, as well as links that you have on your Ava Anderson Non-Toxic site, let people know when it's time to write, to call, to walk, to to do, and to but I love the grassroots approach, because with there are some people, for example, in the environmental movement who are like, if we could only reach the big and change their mind, la la la, it's like we're changing their mind. We're changing the minds of people and the habits and practices of people up from the bottom, through the grassroots, through personal community and connection, just as you're doing. I think you have an incredible model. And I'm amazed that it's actually a family model, and which Ava mentioned, that came from the grandfather of the family, that he had this kind of model. So, you know, you've been chosen and destined to be the people doing this. It is so fantastic. And there are many other, there are also grassroots media models. There are many ways of getting the word out. You know, listeners help get the word out. You can be part of getting the word out. So, you know, not only go and consider the kinds of personal product choices that you're making and maybe consider these safer choices, but also support all the groups that are doing this, like Environmental Working Group and others, and also support independent media like we have here at Progressive Radio. Circulate this show to other people. So I want to thank you. You know, let other people know so they can hear what Ava and Kim have to say. I want to thank you so much for being on Connect the Dots today, and we'll have you back again because this is such
a
rich topic.
Thank you for having us on.
Allison, it was a pleasure, and thank you for all the work that you've done. And there are so many who have brought us to this point. But there's one amazing quote, I think it was from Gandhi, that said, first they ignore you, then they fight you, then they laugh at you, then you win. And I think we're all onto the winning side of this. We just got to keep working because enough hands will turn the tide and create that paradigm shift that we all desire.
That's absolutely right. Thank you so much, Kim and Ava. And thank you, listeners, for being with us today. Come back next week, 10 a.m. Eastern Time, every Wednesday, for the next edition of Connect the Dots on the Progressive Radio Network. I am Allison Rose Levy. Thanks for being with us.